The Irish Times, election 2011.
Hello, I'm Hugh Linehan. Later on, we'll be hearing from Paul Cullen on the five-way battle for the last two seats in the Dublin North constituency. But first, online reporter Aina O'Quayle spoke to our economics editor, Dan O'Brien, about the different priorities laid out in the main party's economic strategies, starting off with the detail of Fine Gael's position.
It was the longest and biggest and most detailed policy document of any of the parties thus far. It focuses on jobs and economic development. For example, the first major segment deals to some extent with budgetary matters, but Fine Gael will be launching its budgetary strategy next week. So there's a degree of overlap with these things, but some of the most interesting stuff in it comes in what's called activation measures for people who are unemployed. It's proposing considerable changes in ways to help people find jobs, an area that in this country we're very underdeveloped in. Most countries, when you become unemployed and you get unemployment benefit, you immediately have a jobs coach or somebody who's immediately helping you to find new work. And these are called activation measures by economists. And Fine Gael outlines a bunch of measures that it intends to introduce in that regard. The two parties that are current opinion polls are almost certain to form the next government, Fine Gael and Labour, both take a very different view on the composition of the fiscal adjustment. Labour are adamant that it will be 50% new tax increases, 50% additional spending cuts. And Fine Gael were very precise today. 72% of the adjustment will be in cuts and 28% in new taxes. So that's a pretty big difference between the two parties. And there's also the issue that the Labour Party announced at the weekend and fleshed out with more numbers and details today that it plans on having a smaller adjustment over the next few years than was set down in the EU IMF bailout package. Initially, it will be a source of discussion in the coalition negotiations because Fine Gael has said that it will respect the terms of the bailout package with regards to the size of the adjustment.
Fianna Fáil held a press conference this morning, which was long on rhetoric but somewhat short on detail.
There was no policy present. There was no policy document. Finance Minister Brian Lennon spoke for 15 minutes. He spent most of the time criticising the other parties and a good bit of the time defending his own record, but there were no new policy proposals given during the talk and no documents outlining ideas. So I think that gives a pretty good idea of the degree to which Fianna Fáil has resigned to returning to the opposition benches after the next election.
That was Dan O'Brien, our economics editor. Our constituency profile today looks at Dublin North. Here's Paul Cullen.
Well, there are four seats in Dublin North. It used to be a largely rural community stretching in right up to the Meath border. But in fact, there's a lot of new housing right throughout the constituency now. And one small, sleepy, you know, seaside villages like Balbriggan are now quite large towns. It's been a traditional, pretty strong Fianna Fáil area. You know, the Haughey influence would go back to the 70s. Its most veteran TD is Trevor Sargent of the Green Party, who's had a strong base here for well on 15 years. Well, this is one of these constituencies where there are two Fianna Fáil TDs running again, and there is no chance that they will get two seats back again. They have Dara O'Brien, who's one of the young Turks in the party, who's got a good media profile and has just been made party spokesman on sport. And they've got Michael Kennedy, who's more of a constituency TD and is tipped by locals to be the one who's more likely to survive, in fact. We've got Trevor Sargent for the Greens, who's the longest established TD. And we've got a Dr. James Riley, who has a medical practice in North County Dublin and is the deputy leader of Fine Gael. Dublin North for many years had a Labour TD, Sean Ryan, who was very, very strong, consistently topped the poll. He then retired and Labour lost its seat. But his brother, Brendan Ryan, who's had a seat in the Shannon for some years, is running. And there's certainly a Labour seat there, most pundits would say. But there is some doubt as to whether Brendan Ryan will get it or the party's other candidate, Tom Kelleher, who is a councillor in the area, might actually beat him to it. Or possibly could they get two seats? Now, Fine Gael is also running a second candidate with James Riley, a young man called Alan Farrell, who's a councillor in the area. Well, if there is a swing in this election to independents and left-wing parties, then it's likely that Claire Daly of the Socialist Party or the United Left Alliance will come in this time. She's come very close in the last election and she's very popular in the area. What counts against her is that this constituency is different in makeup from the last election. It's lost large chunks of its electorate to Dublin West and Dublin North East. And the area around Soares, around the airport, River Valley, was one of her strongholds and she's lost that to Dublin West. So if she doesn't make it in this election, she's never going to make it in any election. Strangely, the airport doesn't rate as highly as it used to as an issue in this election, where I suppose national issues have come to the fore. In the past, for example, Clare Daly has made great play out of attempts to build a second runway near Port Marnock and built a lot of success on that. The slow decline of the airport currently isn't seen as being a big issue here. What is actually a big issue, a transport issue in this area, is Metro North. Huge construction project, would bring thousands of jobs, would improve the public transport connection between North County Dublin, particularly Swords and the city centre, but of course would cost an awful lot of money, and it's not clear whether any new government would be able to afford that. But certainly there's a big lobby around Swords that wants Metro North to go ahead. Well, there's certainly a seat for Fine Gael, and it's likely that James Riley may top the poll. There's certainly a seat for Labour, and it's probably going to be Brendan Ryan. After that, it gets more difficult to predict. I think that one of the Fianna Fáil candidates might just survive because of the intense level of competition between them. Probably, if it is, it's Michael Kennedy. And the last seat then is a toss-up, and I'm going for Trevor Sargent to hang on ahead of Clare Daly.
My name is Kevin O'Sullivan. I'm news editor of the Irish Times. Really, our day starts at around 7 o'clock in the morning when we're monitoring news, and we would have done a huge amount of pre-planning in terms of events for that particular day. But we adjust the news throughout the day, particularly in terms of breaking news, and particularly online, and then we adjust our reporting staff based on what's happening. But a lot of it is predictable. We know what the big press conferences are going to be at the party headquarters every morning. So we would have our senior Paul correspondents going to that. But we do a lot of out on the canvas, at the doorstep type of coverage. And particularly in this election, it's the public mood is a huge issue. The anger out there, where they feel they are, the disillusionment with politics. So these are all big issues that we have to mix into the general coverage of the election, which is probably the big news story of the year. And not only is it a big news story, it is also in terms of logistics. Sometimes we might have 5, 6, 7, 8 pages on the election. So that's a huge logistical exercise. There's a huge team behind producing the copy for that. And we have to anticipate what type of coverage we're going to have for the whole duration of the campaign up to polling day and then for the counts. So we have a small but very effective election team on the news desk, which is headed by Roddy O'Sullivan. And we have probably about 5 assistant news editors that feed into that process. But we would meet on a regular basis throughout the day in terms of planning what type of coverage we would do over following days. But our main sort of news conference of the day would be at 10:30, when we would meet the editor, Geraldine Kennedy, and other senior editors to discuss the previous day's paper and what's coming down the line for the day. We would have anticipated probably about 80% of events. We would then outline who was going where, what type of coverage it would be. Sometimes we would have colour from Miriam Lord with a party leader or out on the doorsteps. We would also have constituency profiles to file each day. We run probably 2 a day for the duration of the campaign, sometimes more. Roddy would coordinate with all the various different correspondents and reporters in getting the mix for that particular day. So we would present that to the senior editors. We would discuss, are we getting the right mix in terms of balance, in terms of particular parties, in terms of particular candidates. And we'd also then sort of vary the content between analysis, news, some lighter stuff as well, to get the mix kind of interesting for our readers. We actually measure balance in a very comprehensive kind of way. We analyse, you know, what pictures we use, what prominence the pictures get, who's on the front page. We analyse, almost measure the length of coverage for each particular party for independence. And we're constantly monitoring that each day. Our sort of main yardstick is the outgoing Dáil, what the percentages are of each particular party. And we balance our coverage largely based on that, but not always. But it's a very good guide. This time it's a lot different because clearly we're going to have a huge number of independents. So we have to be very careful about how we give them a say as well. We're constantly looking at the mix in terms of, are we being fair? Are we giving too much to one particular candidate or not? Is one leader dominating totally over the other? And over the duration of the election campaign, we adjust very carefully in terms of our coverage.
You've been listening to the Irish Times Election 2011 podcast. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter @ITElection or email us at election@irishtimes.com.